Our scripture today is found early in the scripture, the Bible. We're starting in the 18th chapter of Genesis, and you could make a case that if you trace the covenant story, the faith story, all the way back from Jesus, and you want to go to the root of it, you start with Abraham. And that's where we start today, not the beginning of his story, but later on in his story as we join and get to listen in on an episode that he and his wife Sarah have, and the conclusion of a thing that they thought was already concluded. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees at Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up, saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of the tent. He met them and bowed low to the ground. He said to them, "If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you might wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." They answered, "Very well, do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. He said, "Quick, get three measures of our finest flour, knead it, bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk to the calf that had been prepared, and he set those before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. He said, "She's in the tent over there." Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of children. So Sarah laughed to herself. She thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, would I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the time appointed next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did." On down a few chapters, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said he would be, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. And Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, amidst our faith and our doubt, our laughter and our tears, our confidence, our right and our wrong, would you simply speak your word to us? Send your spirit to each of us that we might hear again even promises we thought long over with. We prayed in Christ's name. Amen. So many years ago, and yes, I had a birthday this week and I'm getting old, so that's how I start stories now. Many years ago, I assume from here it's just one step to I don't remember when, and then finally I'll just be standing up here shaking my fist saying, "Back in my day." But for now, it's many years ago, and it actually was many years ago. I was a youth pastor at the time, and I was invited to join a group of other pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where we met, asked by the Presbyterian Church to work on some youth curriculum. The idea was we would plan some youth sessions that people in churches could then just use as they led their youth groups. And we got together that first day and we did brainstorming. We just put everybody who had an idea would put it on the bulletin board, and we would then kind of said, "Oh, I'll take that one," or "I think I'd be interested in that one." And one of the topics was, "Does God laugh?" And nobody took that one. And I thought, "Oh, that's pretty, I think that'll be fun. I'll do that one." Well, turned out it was way harder than I thought it was. That was the first time I began to understand that the Bible doesn't think of humor the same way we do. There are some passages about God laughing, but they're usually mocking laughter. God laughs at the destruction of his enemies. God laughs at the plans of the foolish. God laughs at the destruction of the wicked. And I spent most of that evening kind of throwing my brain against the project. And I realized my brain wasn't up to it. So the next day I went in and I told the people, look, I'm not going to be able to do this. You have to let me pick a different topic, which I did. Now, looking back on that, I think that's still a hard question. In fact, I'm still not sure I could do it. But if you made me try to tackle it today, I might choose our text as a guide for the lesson. Abraham and Sarah are in a hard spot. God promised heirs, descendants, family, blessing. It didn't happen. And the window is closed. They are stuck. And let me start by saying that I like this story. I really do. But I'm also aware that there are probably people who don't. This is a painful kind of story for a lot of people. And historically, I don't think the church has done a great job of hearing stories and struggles of those who have been there. It's a difficult kind of Bible story to preach, knowing how many people have been through these struggles personally, especially because in the Bible, the good thing always happens. God shows up and people get their wish and their dream comes through and they have a baby, which is wonderful in Scripture. But it's not always the case in life. You know, for that reason, and the depth of some of the struggle in this story, I don't know that I would exactly call it a funny text. But I will argue there's humor in it, at least Bible humor. And Bible humor is a little different than ours. And for some, this humor is going to be very hard to see. That's okay. So here's the context. God's been telling Abram and then Abraham and Sarah for years, decades even, they're going to have a son. But now they're old. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90. They're back in my day old. It hasn't happened. It's clear to them, at least, not going to happen. And one day these visitors show up. Sometimes the text refers to them in the singular. Sometimes it says there's three of them. They're mysterious throughout the rest of the time that they're with Abraham. It's an odd way of telling the story. But Abraham shows them hospitality. And one of them in a conversation says, you know, a year from now, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, about a chapter before this, Abraham heard the same thing. He heard it from God. He was having prayer. He has a vision. He sees God. God says, it's going to happen, Abraham. I haven't forgotten. I'm going to get around to it. You're going to have your son. The text says that Abraham, anybody know this story? Fell on his face laughing. That was Abraham's response. Cracked up. Hit the floor laughing. Well, now it's Sarah's turn. She laughs. And the word here for laughter is really interesting. It's translated as two kinds of laughter. One is, as you would think, laughing in joy. The other one is laughing in scorn. So you can laugh out of merriment or you can laugh out of disbelief. And I don't think you need a biblical studies degree to figure out which of these Sarah does. She says, I'm past pleasure. He's even older than I am. Sure, we'll have a baby. Good one. Real funny. And then they ask her, why'd you laugh? She's scared, so she denies it. And the stranger says, yes, you did. And then the three dots come into the story. And we pick it up later, and of course, the miracle happens. The baby's born, and they name him. And because names mean something in the Bible, they name him Isaac. You may or may not know this, but Isaac is the proper noun version of the exact word for laugh in the story. They literally call him laughter. It probably would translate something like the laughing one or he laughs. Laughter. That's what they name their son. And this is the part that I think the Bible thinks is funny. They name their child Laughter after they both laughed at the idea of having him. Now, think about that for a second. The rest of their lives, every time the mother or father says that child's name, Isaac, pick up your shoes. Isaac, get off the roof. Isaac, quit chasing the sheep. Every time they yell at their son or talk to their son, they're going to use the exact word that describes their reaction to hearing that he would be born. They're going to be reminded that they thought it was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I'm speculating a little bit. I'd argue this is in the text, but I'd argue it's not written in the text. I think it's under the text. I think the subtext here is that God gets the last laugh. I think God thinks this is funny. Sarah and Abraham doubted him. They had given up. They buried that dream, and they're just trying to move on. But God had not given up. And in the end, God's power, God's plan prevail. It's a great ending. And we know, unfortunately, that every story doesn't have a great ending. Every story doesn't end with joy and laughter. It'd be nice if they did, but they don't. We have all had some dreams, some wishes, some hopes, things we really wanted, and they didn't happen. We didn't get the miracle ending. So we're just dealing with it, and we're trying to move on. And that's okay. In fact, that's part of being human. Nobody gets out of life without some of those in their story. Sometimes there are stories that didn't end the way that we wanted. And unfortunately, sometimes those make it hard to see the humor in the stories that did surprise us, that did end in joy, where God did show up in a way that we didn't expect. I imagine that most of us carry a few of those stories as well. Stories where we had given up on something. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was an outcome. Maybe it was a possibility or a different direction. But we found ourselves in a place where the result we hoped didn't seem unlikely. In fact, it seemed impossible. It couldn't be fixed. And it wouldn't be changed. We'd hoped for it. We'd prayed for it. We had deep longings for a different outcome, but that's now gone. That ship has sailed and it's out of reach. And then somehow it wasn't. Something changed. Something happened. Some miracle of sorts did come about. An unexpected answer to prayers that we kind of had abandoned, and we dropped the grudge. We forgave the person we didn't think we could forgive. We rebuilt the marriage. We reconciled the relationship. We beat an addiction, or somebody we loved beat an addiction. We got healthy. We got good results. And an outcome or an opportunity landed on us that we didn't expect. And if you think about those stories, You look back now and you think, that time I spent worrying, that time that I spent doubting, that fear and that frustration, I wasted a lot of time with that. I was short-sighted. And maybe, depending on what it was, we even see the humor in it. Maybe we're even able to say, when I look at it now, I laugh at myself. It's funny that I doubted God, that I didn't think He could do it. If we were Hebrew, we'd call that Isaac. And I think God thinks it's funny as well. Now, I know sometimes I hear Him laugh at me, pretty regularly, actually. My doubts, my frustrations, my thinking that I have it all figured out, my lack of faith, the moments I'm so sure that I have it right, I'm so confident of my opinions, I'm so committed to my directions that aren't the good ones, but I'm pretty sure they're the right ones. Like a stubborn child saying, I can do it myself when I can't. And I think God must chuckle in those moments. It must be funny to God when He looks down at me and sees a person who thinks I have a better answer than he does. I don't know when I first saw this, but it was either presented, it was on an Instagram feed, and it was either presented with words something like my walk with God or actual footage of God trying to put me on a better path. But this is the video that I saw that, and I want to share it with you. Yeah, that's us. I imagine we humans are exhausting to God. I imagine Him shaking His head, deep sigh, divine eye roll, smile and laugh, and walking down the trench to pull us out again. I don't think God laughs at our pain or our disappointment because that would make God cruel. I do think God laughs at our confidence, our arrogance, our stubbornness. I think God laughs when we major in minors and make little stuff big. When we keep score and take sides and make divisions. I think God laughs at our inability to see visions that are God-sized. We have to seem funny to the Almighty. I can't prove it. There's no way God doesn't find us humorous. He has to. Follow me for a minute. Human beings with all their stuff are given the grace of Christ. They're sent a Savior. The divine, incarnate, living Son of God who calls them to be the embodiment of Himself, the body of Christ. And then they are sent out as changed, transformed, redeemed people to share the good news and change the world. And what do? We argue over hymnals. Decorating, whether women can give sermons and who you voted for. Yeah, I think God laughs at our nonsense. I'm sure we drive Him crazy. Our smallness in the face of His greatness is probably funny to Him. God's laughter reminds us that He isn't small. His work, His plans, so much bigger than ours. Forgive each other. Love your enemies. Be least, not most. Get over yourself. All of it sounds absurd to us until you know Him. Maybe not as absurd as telling a couple of centenarians by next year you'll be changing diapers. But it's close. We laugh. We tell God that'll never work. We come up with a better plan. What you need to do, God, is dot, dot, dot. We tell God it's over, it's done. It won't work. It'll never happen. Then God smiles, chuckles a little bit, says, well, we'll just see. And then surprises us so deeply that we finally get the joke, which it turns out is us. Our doubt and our fear and our petty stuff. And when we see it, can't really miss how funny it is. And then we laugh. Joyful laughter. Along with the very God who sometimes laughs at us. Amen.